Welcome back to the Rewind That Tape podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cash. And, I mean, wow, what a night we had in the association. A lot of moves going down in the NBA draft that I will get you guys caught up on, as well as many soccer transfers going on, completely shifting European soccer culture and how we view it with the emergence of Saudi Arabian clubs. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into this NBA draft recap. Man, my initial thoughts from this were just very pleasing to see a lot of these teams kind of pick their direction of where they want to go. But I also was surprised about why a lot of these players fell so far down. And honestly, the only thing that surprised me in that top five is the fact that Brandon Miller went number two instead of Scoot Henderson. I feel like Scoot has a lot of better potential. And right now, I just feel like he's the better prospect, especially for that Hornets team where they could potentially have Scoot or could have had Scoot and LaMelo play that one and two and be a up-and-coming backcourt. But by no means is this diminishing Brandon Miller. I mean, he's still a great prospect. He still can shoot the ball at a high level. Obviously, his size is what kind of makes him so special because he can create chances and he can also make his own shot being 6'8 and 200 pounds. So I think that defensively, Miller's really going to help this Hornets team who are pretty much bottom of the league when it comes to defense. And I think that overall he won't be a bad pick for him, but I just feel like Scoot's gonna have a better career. Outside of that, you know, Amen and Alzar Thompson being drafted back to back was pretty cool to see two rebuilding teams who are trying to shift the culture. I feel like for the Rockets it was interesting because now you figure out either is Amen gonna come off the bench or will you have Kevin Porter be that sixth man, because they signed Porter to that extension last season and he's been the starter ever since. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. Another thing I was kind of surprised at outside the top five now was Anthony Black going to Orlando. To me, this pick didn't make much sense. Black is a great defender. And he has some pretty good attributes. I mean, he's probably the best or one of the best two-way prospects in this draft. But that being said, Orlando is just developing their backcourt of Cole Anthony and Jalen Suggs. And to me, adding Anthony Black just doesn't make much sense to me because even if you're still trying to develop Suggs and Anthony, why would you draft Anthony Black which would mean that they're probably going to trade one of those two, but I don't know. I feel like they could have gotten a better pick at potentially small forward or power forward. But again, now they have leverage. They can trade Suggs or Anthony and definitely get first round pick there. And I also feel like Anthony, I mean, he's a great two-way player, but he struggles to shoot from the field. And that's what Orlando needed to address in this draft was getting shooters. Potentially they'll do that in free agency, but I mean, I feel like Bilal Coulibaly or even Taylor Hendricks would have been a better fit. But, you know, being that they just drafted Paolo, drafting a power forward again in the top 10 wouldn't have been ideal. Aside from that, it was interesting and really smart from Nico Harrison, second year GM for the Mavs. He traded their 10th pick to OKC. And they basically swapped picks, and the Mavs were able to get rid of Davis Bertans' massive contract. He's on an expiring deal. And I think Dallas saved about $17 million for that. So they freed up $17 million in cap space. And also an important part of that deal was the trade TPE, the trade player exception, which traded player exceptions basically means that a team can send out one or more players and they can acquire more salary than they gave up. So in this case, later last night, the Mavs traded, or excuse me, they got pick 24 and center Richaun Holmes from Sacramento from this TPE. And I feel like that was huge for them because they now get that starting center, Richaun Holmes, who is solid, a really, really good center for the Kings. And he just fell out of that rotation once Domas Sabonis came in from Indiana. But I've liked this pick for my Mavs. I've liked him for a while, watched a lot of Kings basketball a few years back. And I think that Richaun is the perfect fit for this team. And not only that, but Mavs were able to draft Derek Lively out of Duke with that number 12 pick from OKC. And we all know Lively was a number one prospect coming out of high school. And I mean, he didn't have a number one type of season per se at Duke, but he still has a ton of potential and he's still really good. And the Mavs are desperate to have that starting center who they can rely on to grab boards and be there in the pick and roll for Luka, which so I feel that was a great pick. Moving on here, Jet Howard to Orlando, another shooting guard. This is kind of what really confused me, but he can shoot. And I feel like Jet Howard, he might be able to work depth-wise for this Magic team in the long run because he shot 42% from two-point range. And, you know, obviously a pretty good defender, 6'8". He has a lot. He has range, too, which is exactly what this Magic team's looking for. I think the most interesting thing to me, honestly, in this first round had to be Cam Whitmore. I didn't get why he fell so far down the board, because at first I felt like my Mavs should have got him. And if not, I think maybe New Orleans or Atlanta would have got him at 14 or 15. But I think Houston obviously getting him at 20 is a steal. I think he'll pay off in the future. But that being said, I mean, I know a lot of people wondered why he fell so far down the draft board, all the way at number 20. I think that it was just mainly because of medical issues during that draft process. Kind of the medical tests he went through weren't at the level that teams wanted it, or teams felt comfortable with drafting him so high up. But I mean, he played it down. He said there's really no medical issues to worry about. He said, I have no idea. I don't know what happened, but I feel fine. They think it's something different, they have their own opinion. But at the end of the day, it's my body. So Whitmore completely assured that there really is nothing to be concerned about, and he shouldn't have fallen that far down. But great pickup here for the Rockets, because we know Ime Udoka, he has a really good tendency to develop those small forwards, and I feel like Whitmore is the perfect prospect to get that team rolling. At pick 23, Chris Murray to the Portland Trailblazers. That was another interesting pick to me. Obviously, he was one pick away from potentially playing with his brother Keegan in Sacramento. But I think that, you know, this pick kind of keeps the Blazers competitive. But here, Chris, I mean, he's a knockdown shooter. He has good mid-range, and his defense, which Portland struggled with massively last year, is really good. He played great defense going up against Big Ten opponents night in and night out. So I feel like he'll be a great role player for this Blazers team, and potentially a consistent starter, because, I mean, the Blazers have an option. I think Jeremy Grant has that player option to opt in for $30 million, or that might be what he demands. So Portland has a decision whether they want to pay him or kind of move on and maybe insert Chris Murray here into the starting role. But, yeah, overall, I feel like this was a pretty interesting draft. There was a ton of talent. Obviously, a lot of these teams, Houston, San Antonio, and Portland, got a whole lot better. I feel like those were the biggest winners. And outside of the lottery, I think Dallas won this draft, especially getting rid of that Bertans salary and being able to use that trade player exception to the max. And that's huge from Nico Harrison, seeing him make these massive moves. But outside of those few picks I covered, the ones I liked, again, or the ones I also liked were Marcus Sasser, who the Grizzlies got at number 25, point guard from University of Houston. Sasser's like, he's an electric guard. He has a lot of speed. And I think he'll be able to be a good replacement for Ja for those first 25 games. I also like the Jamie Hawkes pick at number 18 for the Heat. I think a lot of people already pointed this out, but I think his grit, he gives 110% on that floor. We all saw that these last couple years in March Madness. It perfectly identifies, correlates with that Heat culture, you know, giving it their all. And I think Hawkes exemplifies that perfectly, and he'll be a great fit at small forward for this UCLA team. And not only that, but if Kevin Love is back next year in Miami, I think Kevin Love will be a great mentor there. Grady Dick, shooting guard going to Toronto. I think the Raptors they're going to start embracing this rebuild soon and give, because they're going to lose Van Vliet this offseason. They're going to, and that if that happens, I easily see Siakam and Jakob Poeltl definitely being on the move. But I think that Grady Dick here, along with the future point guard that the Raptors sign, would be crucial towards this rebuild, because they also have Scottie Barnes and, you know, they have Chris Boucher, who didn't really get the playing time he wanted last year, but will be able to if the Raptors indeed go the rebuild way. But aside from that, I think that this draft, obviously, like I said, is very interesting. But a lot of the rebuilding teams got what they needed, and they completely addressed those the holes in their team. And I think next year it'll be interesting to see how these guys turn out, because you have guys like Wembanyama, who I feel like is just going to be a monster playing alongside or playing for Popovich, Coach Popovich, who is probably the greatest coach, NBA coach of all time. And I think the way he's going to develop Victor is going underlooked right now, and it's going to be something that pays off massively. Look at Charlotte, obviously addressed their problem at small forward. Blazers got a really good man to partner with Dame, and it's going to be interesting to see if they make a couple more trades to get an all-star. But Scoot, I love that pick going to Portland. Magic, obviously, going heavy on guards, maybe Suggs and Cole Anthony on the move. Ausar Thompson, shooting guard. I think he'll pair perfectly with Cade because Cade's going to run point. Ausar probably at shooting guard. I think they'll probably have Killian Hayes come off the bench. That should be an interesting group up there for Monty Williams to get to coach there for this first season. But other than that, I mean, this NBA offseason is just getting started. We still have a lot more news to unpack and uncover. A lot of free agent signings and potential trades we could be seeing, but that will be very interesting. But to round this up, I kind of want to talk about, you know, soccer. I really like it. Enjoying watch soccer, and been a lot of transfers going on lately, especially in Europe, but Saudi clubs have been swooping in, and it's been massive. But to start off with, I think we got to go with Ilkay Gundogan from Manchester City, central midfielder who was played a massive part in City's treble. He is heading to Barcelona on as a free agent, 2-year deal with a player option to extend to June 2026. I think this move makes perfect sense for Barcelona. I mean, they have that young midfield with Pedri and Gavi. Those two they're really young, so they don't have experience in the brightest lights. And I think bringing in Gundogan here not only strengthens this midfield, but it gives those two a lot of veteran experience that they will be missing from Sergio Busquets as he left to enter Miami. Gundogan, obviously, he can play central mid. He can play CDM really effectively. I think he fits perfect in with Xavi's system. And he'll be a great fit for this Barca team because they need that veteran who's been in the Champions League, because they've missed out on the round of 16 now 2 years in a row. So I think making this move for this veteran is a really smart move. And then we go to another English club, Newcastle, who have signed Sandro Tonali, midfielder from AC Milan for 70 million euros. And I didn't see this coming. I don't think anyone saw this coming. Obviously, we know Newcastle got bought out by the Saudis, and now their transfer budgets will increase by a huge margin. They locked in a Champions League spot this season, which nobody saw coming, and now strengthen their midfield with Sandro Tonali. I think that this move is it's huge for Newcastle. It brings them a great young talent. Now the record sale for an Italian player. I think Tonali is just the way he played at AC Milan. It was just like crucial to the midfield. He kind of held them together. Obviously, when they had Leao out on the left wing, and then Giroud or Ibrahimovic up top at times, it was big for them because obviously those are two playmakers right there. And then with Junior Macias on the right wing, it was tough for Tonali to play that defensive midfielder stance, but he was still able to contribute to 7 assists and 2 goals, and from that defensive mid spot, and just being able to play a little bit more up front, because we know Eddie Howe's system is more attacking based. I think it'll be crucial, and it'll be really beneficial towards Tonali, and it'll kind of boost his arsenal and overall like just in total like where he can play and what he can do, because Eddie Howe, as we know, he's changed a lot of players' positions and it's worked for the best. He'll have either Alexander Isak or Alan Saint-Maximin to work with on the wings, and it'll just be huge for him. But I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Have to get into those Saudi clubs and more Saudi transfers on the next one. But thank you all for listening today. I'll see you guys on the next one, and hopefully have some free agent news today. Thank you.